This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Did you decide which part you want to?
It's not that much.
Okay.
It's really, it looks like a lot.
Yeah.
Here's all we got to read, okay? I'm going to do the... We're gonna have to do this every week for a few weeks, right?
Right, 4 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So what we'll do is okay. I'm gonna read the introduction and all the talking points, and I'm gonna do the call to action.
Hey, I got an idea, okay. real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
So, but I'm 100% sure that I'm pretty positive they're gonna listen to this. Okay, so what I was thinking is, you know, we'll talk about it and Joe, did you already receive yours?
Just today, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know why I haven't received mine, but I think this is what I wanted to do real quick. Week one, which is this week, right? Joe used it, but you and me haven't.
Yeah.
Then the next week, you say that you used it or whoever gets the next one. Then the third week, the other guys. So all three, and then the last week, we'll just send it off with. Now that all three of us have been using, we really want to tell you, you know what I'm saying? So at least we have something for every week. What do you think?
That's fine by me.
DI?
That's fine. I mean,
yeah. Or if you got something better, let me know.
If you want to,
well, let's just
whenever you want to kick. Good. I was gonna say.
I'm gonna ask Coconut. How do you brush your teeth? I go, Coconut, what type of toothbrush do you use?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And then you answer. And yeah. I say, well, the truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget. Okay, I'll say that.
Just try not to make it sound like you're reading it. It's more, a little bit more organic, Glenn, if you can. Yeah.
But this reads well. I've already read through this.
Okay.
When I say that's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. You say, so what makes Quip so different?
Right.
And then Joe.
Yeah.
You say, well, I've been using Quip and it's really good. And I'll say, so, and then say, and I'll then. And then I'll go through these talking points. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Conan, I have a question for you.
What up? What it do? Boom.
When you're finished eating tacos, what do you do?
That's very racial, dog. Why can't I just be finished eating?
Well, you, I mean, you eat a lot of tacos and burritos, right? And chalupas and stuff, right?
No, not that's chalupas. No, it's not my favorite, but you know, you're just trying to be racial. Go ahead.
Not at all. Not, absolutely not. Well, how do you, what type of toothbrush do you use when you brush your teeth?
Usually like soft bristles.
You don't use hard bristles?
No.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. Well, you're right on there, Conan. Let's do this again.
All right.
When I say, but not Quip, so you say...
What's Quip? So what makes Quip so different? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Conan, when you're a... Conan, I have a question for you.
And what'd it do? Boom.
When you finish eating burritos with beans and cheese...
That's a super racial right off the bat.
No, I'm just asking, when you finish eating, you know,
but I don't want just to be food.
Well, you remember you're from Mexico, so you eat Mexican food. And when you're finished eating Mexican food, how do you brush your teeth?
All right, I brush my teeth. Yes, I do brush my teeth.
With what? Use a toothbrush like your toothbrush. What do you use?
What is it going to use? Your finger? Yeah, the toothbrush.
Well, the truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, and not for long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip.
Well, wait a minute. What makes Quip so different?
Wow, Joe, you're right on point
No, I thought you were going to say, Joe, I know you use Quip. You know, I thought you were doing that.
So different that you interrupt and say, hey, I've been using Quip. It's really good, but and then I go through the talking points.
Okay.
All right.
Just ready right again? There. No, we were good to right there.
Yeah.
So right there where you
have the ad in front of you. Are you looking at this ad? Do you have it in front of you?
Who, me?
Yes.
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Go and open up the ad, okay?
Oh,
I thought everybody was reading this ad, so it'd be very simple to follow along.
This is some good Patreon stuff here.
Jesus.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
We be so big. Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang.
We be so big.
Bang, da, dang, da, dang, dang.
Just act like you know, and homie, stop rocking.
Keep you stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feet up, greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Got my demo.
Who is this?
Mark.
Mark Madden.
Mark Madden, yes.
Oh, Jesus.
What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Conan? How you doing?
Good. Are you in Pittsburgh? Is that where you live?
No, fabulous Las Vegas. I'm in disco territory, but I've done well to avoid them so far.
Okay, let me tell you this running theme that Disco seems to be telling everybody. He says, just so you know, that every time you go to Vegas, he always makes sure you pick up the tab. Please reverse the charges on that this week.
Well, that's absolutely true. He does make sure I pick up the tab. What can I do? I feel bad for the guy. I mean, he barely has a job. He basically mops the floor at a peep show. It's kind of embarrassing. So if I can buy him a hamburger or something like that, I feel like I owe it to society almost.
Have you ever visited him? Now Jericho has seen him. I don't know where the exact location is at the soup kitchen that he works at.
I don't know if he works. He eats there. It's a fine line.
Probably both.
Could be both.
How you doing?
Good, hanging in there. Just got here yesterday. I'm doing a couple shows out here because I sometimes do my show from here. I'm going to see Aerosmith a couple times, so that should be pretty good.
Yeah, he says that you like to go there just to watch, like, rock acts, right?
Yeah, because a lot of them now do residencies here, you know? Like, they do, like, you know, a couple weeks, maybe a show every other night, like Aerosmith's at MGM Park. Rod Stewart's been at Caesar's Palace for a long time. Def Leppard and Journey are doing this summer. So it's if you don't get to see those groups very often, because sometimes they come to Pittsburgh and sometimes they don't, you come out here, you can see them twice or three times in a week.
Mark, give me your point of view on this, that, you know, we're all big classic rock fans. I'm a big classic rock fan. Why is it that we do not see great rock bands anymore?
Well, I don't know if we don't. I just think they're kind of lost in the shuffle because there's not really a record industry anymore. People don't buy records. They download. They watch on YouTube and stuff like that. And because of that, we can never get an exact count of exactly how popular anything today is. You know, platinum and gold records anymore. I mean, technically, there's, but it's not a measuring stick. There's a really good group of a bunch of kids, real young for me, like 20 years old through 22 or 23, named Greta Van Fleet, and they sound like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And our, you know, way of thinking, we have to use that to tear them down instead of saying, boy, it's about time somebody sounds like Led Zeppelin. But they're really, really good. There's kind of a tongue-in-cheek satanic priest act called Ghost that's really good. So,
but I don't think when you were young you gave a fuck about record sales. You just liked the music.
Well, no, but you heard of groups because of that. That got like the machinery going, the PR, right. All the magazines and stuff like that.
Right.
I consider Madden to be pretty much a rock expert. He used to maybe we could get into stories maybe even tonight.
Right.
Is that where he used to interview rock bands when he was at a young age? Did like interviews for press, but there is the stain on his record when you're referring to this, because his favorite band of all time is UFO.
Ooh.
I can't UFO exactly.
Ooh.
I can't find one other person I've ever met in my life that has UFO ranked in like their top 25. So this is a very bizarre position. Could you explain?
Were you watching UFO when you heard this music, Mark? Who is this?
UFO is awesome, and they're doing their last tour. The Stinger Seven is doing their last tour this October. And I can name another. I can name a person who considers UFO his favorite group. The famous disc jockey Eddie Trunk ranks UFO number one.
Wow. I know Eddie.
I know who Eddie Trunk is. He had that show, yeah. That metal show.
Right.
He's a big name.
He's a big.
Okay,
a big
guy
DJ.
Who mops the floors in a peep show, talking about how big other names are and aren't.
Okay, so I'm looking at this group UFO. All right, and oh, they're from London, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, they've had a million members. Now they have two guys from America, but they still have three guys from the Glory Days. That's about right.
Madden, this is the funniest thing. The thing about this band, from hearing these stories from Madden over the years,
right,
is that would tumultuous be a good way to describe their career arc?
Like the guitar player, the ex guitar player punched the singer on stage.
Right.
The singer fell off stage once when he was doing too many pills. They've had their share of comings
well,
and goings and unpleasant incidents. But
Mark. That sounds like your run-of-the-mill rock group. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, we could go down.
Right. It sounds like what goes on in wrestling backstage, too, so why are we making fun of it?
Let me ask. No, no.
I'll tell you one thing about UFO. UFO never did a job for a woman.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. So when you were interviewing these rock stars and all that, and I want to get back to that in a minute, but when you were interviewing them, and then obviously you got into the wrestling business, did you see a lot of parallels? You know, over the life, over the top characters, the crazy partying.
It's hard to tell if there's more or less in music or wrestling, but I see the comparison. But like anything, you had some guys who did, some guys who didn't. One of the biggest contrasting episodes I can mention is, I interviewed Motley Crue way back when they were just starting to become big. This is like 1984,
right.
And they were opening up for Ozzy Osbourne on tour. And they invited me backstage to say hello. I went backstage. I saw Nikki Sixx and Tommy Lee double teaming a girl on the bathroom floor.
Right.
While I was urinating, they said, "Oh, go ahead, take a piss. She's just some pig."
Right.
Which I thought was very magnanimous of them. The amount of drugs they did was just incredible. And then the next week, Dio was in town, Ronnie James Dio. And I went backstage there and we sat down and had tea.
Right. That's tremendous. So who who would you say is the star that you wanted to meet the most, and you finally met him, and it was like a big mark out moment for you?
Oh, like all the UFO guys, even though Glenn will make fun of that. I don't know. I mean, I never got to meet the guys from Led Zeppelin. Those would have been the guys I got down and genuflected in front of. I'll tell you who I interviewed recently. This is kind of going back to sports from music. I had Joe Namath on my show recently, the Jets quarterback who won Super Bowl III and changed football forever. He's from the Pittsburgh area. And I had him on before, but it was the first time in a long time.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's the first time I talked to him in a long time, and boy, just to speak with a guy who's so iconic in his sports and really who did more to make football the biggest sport in this country than anybody else, because, you know, when he won Super Bowl III with the Jets, that big upset over Baltimore, it was right at the time of the merger between the AFL and NFL and really put football over the top in America. So that was a pretty big markout moment for me, sure. Some of the rock guys went like...
Not only that, he had a lot of white boy swag. He wasn't afraid to sit, you know,
no question.
Yeah, in a fur
coat. Let me ask you this, to segue into wrestling, and to segue that from the point where you were just talking about, the segue into professional wrestling. Does AEW have a Joe Namath that they can as they're like making their, like they're the new kid on the block, kind of like the AFL was? Do you see any, are there any comparisons that can be made between the AFL, becoming impactful to AEW now, like starting on TV?
Well, don't forget, though, when the AFL started out, they didn't have a Joe Namath either.
Right.
So if you're asking me, do they have a big star right now who could put them over the top? So Jericho's kind of that guy right now. Maybe Kenny Omega is, maybe he isn't. I think to assume he's going to be a big star in America just because he was a big star in Japan is pretty much a leap of faith, although certainly he's got the quality to do it. You just never know how American wrestling fans respond. Then again, they already have the internet cult following assembled. So, you know, that's one point in their favor and his favor. But in terms of young guys, I don't know. I mean, to that level, I don't know. I mean, to be perfectly honest, and I'm rooting for AEW, but boy, it's going to be tough, isn't it? I mean, let me ask you guys, do you think in 5 years AEW will still be a product on national American cable TV with a weekly show? And will it still have the buzz it does right now before it's barely started? I guarantee that, isn't it?
I'm going to give you an analogy that I came up with last night that I was thinking of. Again, I want to see what you guys think of this. Okay, is that the relationship between the WWE and their fan base, okay, has drastically deteriorated. The fans are blaming the booking of the show on the reason that they're not providing them good content, and the company is kind of like, in a way, kind of like blaming the fans for the way they react to the product. And what I see right now is a broken relationship between the WWE and its fans that is just basically ending in divorce. And what I see these fans now, the divorced wife of the WWE, the relationship's broken down. There's this new hot looking guy on the block all of a sudden that people are talking about. You know, like, and that, well, like, that would be AEW. And I'm just wondering if the fans of wrestling today are ready to basically just dump the WWE because it's been so bad for this new product.
Well, I think you've overcomplicated things drastically, but that's to be forgiven because you're not really that bright. Most people have always stopped watching
Mark,
wrestling.
Mark, let me just so you know, here's another thing. This guy puts the veracity of your IQ on the line every single week. He says that you claim to have like a 160, whatever it is, and he thinks it's in the low 90s.
Low teens. The low 116, I think.
No, that's just not true. My IQ is evident as that thing on his face that looks like an Eiffel Tower that he calls a nose.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, but to get back to my original point, there are a lot more people who used to watch wrestling than watch wrestling right now. You know, Disco's talking about the wrestling fans lapsing. They've already lapsed. I mean, on Monday night, there used to be 8,000 or 9,000 people that watched wrestling. Now there's, what, 2 or 3 tops. So I think the scenario you've described has already played out. And I don't know how WWE gets those fans back. I'm not even sure how AEW gets them. I'm not sure that they know AEW exists. I kind of laugh when, you know, a lot of the dirt sheet guys, like Dave Meltzer, talk about this being a golden era in wrestling. Now, if you want to do 4-star, 5-star, all that jerk-off stuff, maybe it is that. But fewer people watch wrestling now than ever before. So how could it be a golden age? It's weird how, and to be honest, laughable, that the internet and the echo chamber has made this about who can have the best match in the ring as opposed to who can draw the most money. The only scoreboard that matters is drawing money. Now, WWE's done admirably in getting the most money possible out of the few fans that are left, but that doesn't change the fact that there are few fans left, and it doesn't change the fact that that's a pretty ominous situation to look at in the long run.
So here's the way I look at it. I think, you know, the fans are correct in all the backlash they've given WWE because never respect them. They've given them whatever they've wanted, irregardless of what the fans wanted. And now that they're trying to give it to them, it may be too late. The thing with AEW is they've got this great, which we had, a great platform, which is Turner. And I don't see too many rock groups or wrestling groups or any acts out there selling out in 15 minutes or 10 minutes like they are. So they obviously have a very dedicated fan base. Now, they did lose a lot of fans 20 years ago. That's 20 years ago. They may be starting to bring new fans that weren't, you know, new fans to the fold. So we're just going to have to see how that unfolds.
Oh, no question. And I'm rooting for them. Make no mistake. Yeah. And the fact that they can sell out the shows that quickly is a phenomenon. That's that they haven't had many of them yet. Right. One thing that I like about the AEW stuff we've seen, they're clearly doing unscripted promos. They're clearly doing bullet points and improvisation.
Which I love.
And it's so much better. It's so refreshing. All the WWE interviews sound like they're being spoken by the same voice. WWE is just such a toxic situation. I tweeted something earlier about the announcers, how I'd hate to be an announcer in WWE because you've got this madman who's lapsing into dementia, screaming in your ear every second, saying, say this, say that, say the other thing. I heard him announce. He wasn't very good when he did it, so get out there and do it yourself, old man. And you got crap like you know, you have to call Drew McIntyre the Scottish psychopath 15 times during his segment so everybody remembers to buy a friggin' T-shirt. It's samey, it's cliched, it's repetitive, it's just awful. But I can't even blame the announcers because they're just doing as they're told. You can trace everything bad about WWE, everything, directly to Vince McMahon because despite the fact that he's in an age where he should be anything but hands-on, he's more hands-on than ever.
Right.
I'm going to see what get you on record for my theory is that because I think that this fan base is ready to turn on WWE at any point, I've been on record that AEW should go head-to-head on Monday night because
let me give you
my reason. Because this we have a very isolated fan base right now, and the WWE is getting as much money as it can. Like, but there's not as many fans as there were, right? My point is this fan base ready to consume a whole brand new additional hour, 2 hours of additional content every week, or is that going to be too much? As opposed to, let's just stick them right head to head, right in the heart of their audience on Monday night, and see if we can get those people that are used to watching wrestling on Monday night back watching the show again during that base of the traditional time slot. That's my take. If they got a good product,
yeah, you've had incredibly stupid ideas in your lifetime, Glenn, but that's another one of them. TNA tried that; it didn't work. TNA admittedly wasn't hot like AEW is now, but if you're doing that, you're deciding to win or lose the war right then and there, over the space of a couple months. And if you do that, you better be absolutely certain you're going to win. And I don't think AEW is there yet.
It seems like as of now, they're going to be starting on Wednesdays, D.I. They just trademarked Wednesday Night Dynamite.
Like all of a sudden, who's going to go watch wrestling on Wednesday night? Like, you're telling me right now, okay, oh, hey, Wednesday nights, there's new two-hour show. I'm not going to watch. Like I get we're creatures of habit. Yeah. The median age of wrestling fans is 52 years old. Okay, I would suggest that half the wrestling audience being above 52 years old are pretty much creatures of habit at that age. And I would doubt that they're ready. It's like, oh, hey, let me change my whole television schedule so I can watch AEW on Wednesday nights now. That's why I think this.
Well, you know, the creatures of habit thing rings true because they certainly learned to not watch you.
He's been a lot of. Can we edit these insults out, Joe? Because he's insulted me at least on 6 or 7 separate occasions on this.
Well, you make him pay for all the meals. You bury him on the disco list every week on his IQ and other matters. So I think it's right that
okay. And plus two, you said what? And Mark, you know what you were talking about too. I like to refer to that as sometimes when these the dirt sheet guys kind of drive their narratives. I call it the fake wrestling media, you know, like the fake news wrestling media, because sometimes when they just get on their narratives instead of just reporting the facts. But that's a fake news story that I make you pay all the time. I paid, but I think at least half the time, maybe
I
more.
I doubt that.
Okay, maybe more.
And Conan, believe me when I tell you. Believe me, I can't even remember the last time he paid.
Okay, how about this, Matt?
Okay, I'll tell you what, Big Shot. We're going to go out to eat tomorrow night. It's on you.
Well, that was the whole point. I think this whole thing was I think you talked to him in a pre-production thing and mentioned to bring this up, so it put me on the spot to pay for the food.
No. Okay. This is the same guy who lost a Super Bowl bet to me and didn't want to wear a bikini.
Time out. Yeah. You are the worst. You and Joe are deplorable, detestable people. When we had the meet and greet with the fans in Philadelphia, okay, the marks from the Patreon, okay, they came and met us. Who picked up the tab for your food?
Okay. Let me tell you what happened there. Can you hear me, Mark?
Answer that question first.
Okay, wait. I'm talking to Mark. Hello?
I'm here.
Mark, so we went out to this diner, very cheap diner at that, and he picked up the tab for everybody at the table, knowing full well that the next day we'd have a podcast and it would be brought up. And if we didn't bring it up, he'd bring it up. This shit happened 2 months ago, and he just brought it up to
me. Oh, it's ridiculous.
He's living off of that. 90% of the times I've gone out to eat with this fucking needle dick jackass, he never pays.
Yeah, but it actually worked against him now, because tomorrow he has to pay. You heard him, right, Conan?
Yes, take him to Ruth Chris or something like that.
Oh, we'll go way better than Ruth Chris, believe me.
Let me ask you another question. Like I said, I'm a huge classic rock fan. So what would you say is the best group that you've seen that doesn't have the original lead singer anymore?
Oh, that's a really good question. Because some groups have done pretty well in that regard, haven't they?
I like Journey.
Isn't Journey the Filipino guy's pretty good?
I would have to say Journey. It's either Journey or Foreigner.
Foreigner.
Although wow. Foreigner did a series of shows last year where Lou Gramm came up on stage, the original singer, with right. a bunch of the old band members that did five or six songs. I would say Journey with Ariel Pinesa or Foreigner Ellie Hansen. They're the two best for me.
Bro, I'm a humongous Foreigner fan.
Yeah, well, having Matt on the show has me hot-blooded, to be honest.
The great thing about Foreigner is their lineup is Mick Jones. Right. You know, he's the original guitar player and right. founder, and then everybody else is not an original, right?
Right.
And they tour constantly, and what Mick Jones does is, if they're playing a small town, he won't show up. They have three guitar players, including him. Right. So if they're playing some little podunk town, he won't show. They'll do the show with two guitar players, which still sounds great. And then when there's a show in a big city or a big tour supporting somebody, like they go out on tour with like Whitesnake, Cheap Trick, groups like that, and he'll show up for all of those because they're big arena shows. I've seen Foreigner in the Pittsburgh area, Pittsburgh, where Mick Jones always shows up, but also at Greensburg and Youngstown and Morgantown, where he never shows up. So that's a pretty good gig because he owns the name. He's getting paid regardless, and he's still very good, by the way.
And give me somebody that changed lead singers, and they're just brutal.
That's a question, too.
Van Hagar was terrible. I thought they were terrible.
Oh, Van Hagar was very good. It just sounded different than Roth. I thought from Extreme is their third singer. That was brutal.
Oh, Gary Cherone.
Yeah, ooh. Gary Cherone. He sang in that what Extreme, right? Yeah, Extreme.
Yeah.
I thought that failed miserably. Obviously, it only lasted one album and part of a tour. Other than that, though, boy, I don't know. Black Sabbath had a bunch of phony singers after Ozzy and after Dio and before Ozzy came back. They had a bunch of phony guys. That said, I would go see them with whoever singing, and it was still pretty good. I think people just want to hear the songs. I think regardless of who's singing them or who's left in the band that is or isn't an original, people just go to those shows because they want to hear the songs.
Right.
Yeah, but it's always nicer to hear from the original guy.
No question. But in some cases, if the original guy just can't sing anymore.
Right, okay, I know. And that's sad when you have to have your backup singers basically singing for you. But here's the other thing. Like when I saw, did you see Bohemian Rhapsody?
I did.
And did you see The Rocket Man?
Not yet, no.
Okay, so like that was the main difference to me, because in Bohemian Rhapsody, all the music was by Freddie Mercury, one of the greatest voices of all time. Elton John, who's another guy, I like his voice a lot. Even though the actor that sang had a really good voice and sounded a lot like Elton, it wasn't Elton. And you know what I'm saying? And I was like, fuck, why don't you just put Elton? That's who I grew up listening to.
Let me ask you a question, man, before we go. Who's the most famous popular A-list band that has put on the worst show that you've seen?
That's a good question, too. I've very rarely been – wait, one other replacement singer. Yeah. Johnny Van Zant replacing Ronnie Van Zant, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Different, but still very good.
Yeah.
In other words, what group have I seen that's like fallen apart on stage?
Like you went to some of the big famous bands sold out at just a terrible show.
I can't think of one that is that memorable. Oh, let me tell you one other singer that didn't work. He's a real good singer. Queen got together with Paul Rodgers from Bad Company for a while.
Right.
And I enjoyed the shows, but it sounded nothing like Queen because Paul Rodgers sounded nothing like Freddie Mercury, whereas the guy now from American Idol, Adam Lambert, sounds very good.
He's fucking great.
He is great. Here's something weird. I've seen like Motley Crue a bunch of times back when.
Right.
When they were obviously, you know, impaired out of their minds, like, but they were still really, really good.
Right.
They shouldn't have been. It's same with Aerosmith. I saw Aerosmith back when, you know, they might as well have been snorting a line from the dressing room door to the stage, but they were still very good. Some groups could just handle that. I've never seen anybody just fall apart on stage. I mean, UFO one time, but they're not big enough to probably fit the description.
How about Fozzy?
No, Fozzy always delivers a very professional show. Yeah. And by the way,
What's the best part about Fozzy's show?
Not the front man.
It's 70 minutes start to finish every single time.
What's that?
It's exactly 70 minutes start to finish every single time.
Oh, that's true. They do toe the line for time. I think Rich Ward's a really good guitarist.
He is really good.
Jericho's a great front man. There's no disputing that. And I thought their last album, I think that song Judas would have been
good.
A hit like in the 70s and 80s on radio. That's a really good classic rock song.
Right.
Judas should be your theme song because you stabbed me in the back on repeated occasions.
Well, you stabbed me in the back a few times, but that was accidentally with your nose.
He can't help it. Yo, Mark, so do you still have like a radio show?
Yeah. I am 3 to 6 Eastern time every day on 105.9 The X in Pittsburgh. A very popular show. We used to have Glenn on. It became not as popular. Now he's off, so it's more popular. But it's great. It's a great show.
Let me ask you one quick question before we get out of here. I'm sure you've had to toe this line before, being opinionated. So I was looking at this thing where and I forgot his name, Ball. Is it Lonzo, the dad? What's his name?
LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball,
right.
Because everybody starts with an L. LiAngelo, LaBelle. So he was on this show with the wife of Jalen Rose, and you heard what he said, right?
Yeah, about shifting gears. He kind of turned into sexual innuendo.
Right. Do you think that was something for him to get all that, you know, all that flack, or were people being overly PC?
Well, people are always being overly PC. That said, I've never seen the point of having him on a show.
Right.
I mean, he's just some nutty dad. I mean, there's no shortage of nutty dads out there, and maybe he...
But he has a personality, bro. And if you have a personality, you're going to get on TV, whether you're a jackass, a dumbass, or cool or whatever, because people probably call in and say,
well,
hey...
Mark can attest to that.
No, I am a polished radio professional, you idiot.
Yeah, but now you got on television.
What's that?
I said, but you're a radio guy, but you got on TV, so yeah, you definitely understand how lucky.
Oh,
you are.
I'm the beloved former co-host of America's second most watched cable TV program ever.
So, what did you think? Do you think he should have been? Because now they're never going to have him on the air and all that. Do you think they went overboard, or that was the right thing?
I think it's good he's never going to be on the air because he has nothing to offer.
Right.
And I think he's hurting his kid's career. So I think it's good for his kid.
Yes.
That he's not going to be on anymore. But we're definitely too PC. You know what's a fun thing to do? Watch a movie, like a really popular movie from like, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, even further.
Mm-hmm.
And you can count off the lines in the movie that you could never get in a movie today.
Right.
Like you could never make a movie like Animal House today. You could never make a movie like Caddyshack today. Even something as harmless as... Remember that movie with Keanu Reeves, The Replacements?
Yeah.
Yes. Forget it.
Remember he has a conversation with Gene Hackman, and he said, and Gene Hackman says something about, you know, putting yourself at risk, and Keanu Reeves says, that's why girls don't play the game, coach. You could never get that line in a movie today. And it's so totally throwaway and harmless. So I don't think we're doing ourselves any favors by being overly PC, but if it gets LeVar Ball off TV, at least that's one good thing.
Hey, right, where can we find you on social media?
What's that?
Where can we find you on social media?
Oh, at Mark Madden X. I'm followed by 117,000 people. How about you, Glenn?
And
I'm followed by 20-something thousand, but 97% of my followers are real. Okay, I'm going to...
They're real idiots just like him.
I'm going to do a Twitter audit on you because I think a lot of your... I would think that probably your followers would follow in two specific demographics. One would be fake followers, like fake accounts, and number two would be people with mental problems. I think those are
You get followed by fans of Fruit Loops and the Jimmy Durante Memorial Society.
And NAMBLA. Mark.
Yes.
Hopefully, bro, we need to get together. It's been a long time. I'd like to go to kick it with you at a rock show one day in Vegas.
Or a StarCast.
Anytime, man.
StarCast will get booked for eventually sometime.
Yeah, I think I saw you at StarCast real quick, right? Didn't we?
Yeah, real briefly. You were on your way to and from someplace, yeah. I don't know if I'm doing the next one, though. I think there's a lot less of that stuff going on. I think they're going to, from what I hear, I think they're going to downsize StarCast. I think they went a little bit overboard with how many people they brought in.
Yeah.
Still doesn't stop us from catching a good show in Vegas. So I want to thank.
Not.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much. A pleasure talking to you. We need to get you on here more often. And I want to thank you very much for being on our anniversary edition of Keeping It 100. Boom.
There, it's my honor, Conan. We'll talk soon.
Conan.
What to do?
We got one of my favorite sponsors of all time.
All right.
Okay. Have you heard of Athletic Greens?
No, but you and Joe have been telling me about it because we both use it. I'm still waiting to get mine.
Yeah, it's got less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, and it supports mental clarity and alertness. Basically, I take a lot of vitamins. I've got like six, seven, you know, things of vitamins, everything. I had to, take the cap off, to take them all. I take six or seven at a time, but not anymore. With Athletic Greens, you just take a packet or a scoop. It comes in packets or scoops. Put a scoop in the water, about 8 to 12 ounces of water, and you take it down. It tastes delicious. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself, and you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by athletes. So basically, with one scoop of this, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Conan. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Conan, athleticgreens.com/KONAN, to take advantage and ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Okay, what do you take it for exactly, Joe? Because I know you like it.
It's vitamins.
Yeah, it's vitamins. I like it a lot because of the taste. I take mine in the morning, and actually what it did was, you know, I was taking a multivitamin, I was taking a probiotic for my gut, I was taking something for energy, something for sleep, whatever. That can cost you hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month to keep taking all these things. Like Disco said, he takes six different things, right? With Athletic Greens, you use your one scoop in the morning, and you're good. You can cancel out all these millions of vitamins and spending hundreds and all that. You know, some people don't like to take big, thick vitamins and pills and all that. This is a drink. It's delicious, and it takes care of everything.
Yeah, basically, Conan, it's just the simplicity of taking a multivitamin and a probiotic. Just put anything that tastes good. Just drink it down right before you. I do it right before my first meal of the day, and it's great. It's perfect. It's so much more convenient.
So you just take it once a day?
Just once a day. It's all you need right before your first meal.
Yep, one scoop in water. Boom.
Yeah, and I was reading right here, it says that you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins.
And also, you know, our viewers, like we promote a lot of products on the show, and our listeners probably have different types of diets. And it's whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it works for everything.
So take care of your digestive system, your immune system, your vitamins, your minerals, all in one powder, good-tasting form. Joe and Disco have been using it. I will be using it soon and giving you my reaction on it. But if they're putting it over, obviously it's good. Check it out.
It's athleticgreens.com/KONAN.
All right. As usual, we always looking out for your wellness and your lifestyle and how you can stay healthier. And here's another example. Athleticgreens.com. Boom.
I was thinking of Bronx Tale with the kid. You know, he had the kid running around the neighborhood and stuff.
Yeah, bro, I'm a big fan of all mafia movies. So yes, 1,000%.
I want to make sure that we're all on the same page before I set up the tier and what it includes and all that stuff. And that's why I've been trying to get, you know, Kevin, but now he's on his honeymoon. And then I guess we'll have this conference call and with Conrad and get some more ideas down, because when I put up a Patreon post saying, hey, we're thinking about this $10 tier, we might have this, we might have that, people were down, except for a couple.
I've actually had a couple people that have said, hey, I'm excited about the new tier, I'm here to support, you know. And so of course, if there's another tier, our hardest of the hardcore are going to, you know, support us, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just one or two, and they were like, this is out of control now. Now you want $10. I was like, dude, you got to look at other people's fucking Patreons, because you're getting way more here for, you know, a dollar or five.
Bro, then it's very simple. This is simple business. If you're going to run a business, you know, you're going to try to monetize as much as you can. Bro, $1 for all the content we give you, if really, let's be real, that's a lot of fucking content.
Especially,
you know what I'm saying? If you like the show.
When you
to
see
somebody that don't give a fuck about our show, you know, they could care less. And this isn't being braggadocious, but I'll put our show up against any other podcast. You know, I think it's super entertaining. But, you know, everybody else is doing higher tiers. There's no reason why we shouldn't try to monetize it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So
you know, I mean, Bruce is I think Bruce was charging $100, bro, to have like 10 people have dinner with him and Conrad.
Yeah.
And Conrad told me the people do it. They buy it.
Because it's the personal experience.
What a work,
right?
Bro. Think about this. This is what a great work. Not only do people pay you to chill out with you, they're actually paying your meal too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
All right. I just added Cyrus.
Okay. Yeah, the only other thing you need is a fucking hand job, which Disco could maybe provide, and you're set.
No, we're not putting hand jobs on Patreon. That's disgusting.
All right.
Okay. Cyrus, you there?
He's not here yet, but I just sent him the ad.
Okay.
That was a lot of noise for somebody that wasn't here.
I have a question for you, because beyond professional wrestling, I need to know one thing. As you see, I've been basically on this show. Basically people pen me as a big right winger. I'd just like to ask you a question. Do you think, and from your objective opinion, and based on let's throw away the media reports and things, the ways the coverage done, do you think Donald Trump has done a good job as president of the United States of America?
Is doing a good job?
Yes. Do you think he's done a good job so far?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, as with anything, the answer is it's complicated. You may have recently seen a photo that was leaked of me at the G7 summit. So I was with Justin Trudeau there as a special advisor.
I did see that. Yes.
I come and give advice based on poverty alleviation and water issues in third world countries. So I did have a discussion with President Trump, and I did mention to him.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Sure.
You're putting out one of the biggest things that happened in the meeting, and I think I actually tweeted it. I know that the prime minister from Japan and the guy from France, Macron, got together. You don't have to confirm it. But I do know that there were meetings with you and them, and that you were going to help them with some of the future financial planning. Can you confirm or deny, or no comment?
You know, the vagaries of international finance are complex to many, but it's child's play to me. So I very quickly, on the back of a napkin, mapped out the financial wherewithal and the various vagaries of the future financial planning of the EU, as well as restructuring the entire Brexit issue. I did this in 5 minutes. I mean, look, I don't want to brag. You know, Glenn mentioned that he went to a private school and got good grades. I mean, this is, I'm going to read directly from an assessment that was done on me when I was 7 years old. The doctors described me as being an era-defining genius. Wow. With an intellect on the same level as Isaac Newton. So...
That is tremendous. Wow.
Yeah.
That is tremendous.
I don't like to brag, but
no.
Well, those were Canadian doctors. They had national health care there, so the doctors in Canada served.
Mayo Clinic, Rochester, Minnesota. You can Google that.
That's interesting. Yeah. Let me ask you another question. Will you be willing to admit, okay, that the National Football League is far superior to the Canadian Football League? Can you admit that being a Canadian?
Talent-wise, absolutely, and I'm a huge Minnesota Vikings fan. Excitement-wise, I think the CFL game is more exciting because it's a wider field. It's kind of like, do you want to watch Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat because it's the two best guys, or do you want to watch Disco Inferno against Alex Wright because it's just such a shit show that it's entertaining? I mean, it's kind of like that in a sense.
Let me ask you a question because I'm a big purple one question. I'm going to ask a question real quick. Because I'm a big Minnesota fan, too. So were you a big fan back in the day when it was like Carter, Moss and Carter and Cunningham, that era?
That's when I kind of started, and then I really got into it sometime after that when they were bad. So I don't feel like I'm a bandwagon jumper, and I've been with them through all this. So we're hoping this year is a big year.
Bro,
obviously,
I was so brokenhearted, and I know Disco must have been elated because we were actually in WCW at the time. Remember that game between Minnesota and Atlanta? Where Minnesota was 15-1, Atlanta had only lost like two games.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Anderson made 43 consecutive field goals, and then he missed his first one of the year.
Bro, I'll never forget that. The guy goes, he hasn't missed a field goal in 2 years. Bro, I remember them saying he hadn't missed a field goal even in practice. I just want to ask you something real quick, Lord Cyrus. So you're going to be at All In, correct?
Absolutely. And that was one thing I didn't want to seem like I was piling on in my prepared statement, but I will point out that when the Jackson brothers, the Young Bucks, won the IWG.
During a live transmission of the New Japan telecast.
Correct. Yeah. They had just won, historically had just won the IWGP heavyweight titles. They walked out of the ring and the first thing they did, what did they say? They said, Don, are you available for All In?
I was going to say that. That's what I liked about them. They didn't assume that you had nothing going on. Like, they know how busy your schedule is. And you just happened to have one of the very few days off. And knowing you, you probably knew you had something going on that day. And you canceled it in your mind. And you said, look, I'm going to have to cancel this to help this show.
And Cody was on board with this, despite the fact that I frequently bury him on my commentary. That's how good I am. And that's how they wanted to sell this event out, and they did sell this event out, and they did it by bringing up my name and by booking me.
Now, Disco thinks it's because they brought up his name.
100%. Right. I think within 30 minutes of them announcing me for StarCast, the tickets went on sale and sold out like another 30 minutes later. So that's, just to be clear.
Yeah. Well, it's good. You're on the little StarCast thing. Is it, did you have to buy a ticket for that? Like, you're not on the main show. I just want to be clear about that. Is that right?
I desire to be on the main show.
So you're not on the main show. Did you know, Glenn, that they had to book two extra buildings? It's like the old, they're actually going to book a second arena after they announce me, and the show will be available to those people on a closed circuit, and we just sold 15,000 tickets for that.
Lord Cyrus, let me ask you a question, bro. What do you think? This is what I think. Do you think that one of the things that why that was so successful, besides the fact that one of the things that I always hear constantly is, you know, how fan friendly they are, okay? But do you also think there was a what would even be the word? there was a part of it was also maybe also, that maybe the bigger promotions aren't giving the fans what they want, and this and these guys are.
You know, I think that this thing was very much sold as, hey, we can do this together. It was inclusive for the fans. And I think fans wanted to send a statement. As I've said many times in interviews, the power is in to a degree it never has been in the hands of independent wrestlers in terms of their future. And things like All In are taking that to a whole new level. So it's kind of like Robin Hood. It's like, be part of the revolution, be part of something cool. And we're all doing this together to send a message to Dave Meltzer and all of the old cronies who run this wrestling business or whatever, and include myself in that, that we can do this as a bottom-up kind of a grassroots thing. So I think it's really cool, and I credit those guys for having some grapefruits to stick their neck out.
Now, is there a component, and that was the word I was trying to figure out, is there also a component of it maybe that of all the years of hearing of the exploitative practices of the companies against the boys, mm-hmm. and, you know, no insurance, no union, no pension, all that stuff, that it's almost a groundswell of let's help the indie wrestler out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to if you put on a show with compelling characters that people are interested in, then people are going to buy tickets. It's like when we went to WrestleCon this year, it's like we did Impact versus Lucha Underground. And we sold it out. We turned people away. Why? Because people were very excited to see talent from one company wrestle talent from another company. And I think that's something that hasn't changed in the last 20 years.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely right.
The wrestling business has gotten so big that disco is even able to make money at it. No disrespect intended to Glenn.
Oh, well, disrespect was I think it was intended, but that's fine. That's right out of the playbook, so.
Listen, I can't wait to get down to Las Vegas. I am pushing very hard at the highest levels of the Ivory Tower here at Impact Wrestling to ensure that Disco gets to have an Impact experience at some point. We'd love to bring him back and use him in the way that he deserves to be used.
That's about time, right? It's about time. I think that doesn't that help in his case to joining the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would help, you know, right. Especially I believe Impact at some point. Have you announced any dates in Vegas coming up?
No, I haven't, but you'll be the first to know, of course. And I'll just say there's a lot of guys in the back who listen to your show, Conan, and who have heard me talk about Glenn that have said they're very anxious to meet him face to face. That's what they've said. Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. I like how that sounds.
If I ever got announced for Impact, they're building the stadium here in the Raiders stadium. If he's going to, like, 80,000 people is going to hold. They say it's going to take 4 million man hours to basically build that thing. But if you announce that I would be participating on that card, I think that you could actually have, like, so many volunteer work being done to get that stadium built, like a year faster than it's supposed to be built. Mm-hmm. Because, like, any show that I would be on, you would need the capacity for close to 100 people.
Well, Disco's such a big. I mean, we don't like Vegas. I don't have a show in Vegas right now. We would be happy to have Disco in Toronto, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, any places where we are, Chicago, Seattle. You know, and it's an easy drive for you, Glenn.
That's tremendous. That is tremendous. Well, yeah, that is, and you guys will pick up.
Well, we'll give him some
food money and a per diem, right?
We'll give him some trans, and we've got some enhancement guys that go four to a room. I mean, I'm sure that they'd love to have him in there. So it'll be great.
We got more money for beer.
Well, if we do the show in Toronto, if you could set me up some meet and greets to have some Tim Hortons coffee with some people that I give you a little extra inside of this feeling.
Yeah, Damore's got some Italian friends. He's very excited to introduce you to, apparently.
That's tremendous, too. All right. Yo, Don, what do you got going on or anything else you want to bring up before we get out of here?
Well, while I'm about to record the Killing the Town podcast, so I'll be sure to mention all the kind stuff that's going on today. Obviously, check out Impact Wrestling.
When does it come out, Killing the Town? What day?
It'll drop Tuesday morning. So tomorrow, as we're recording this, and Impact Wrestling, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Twitch, check us out on Pop TV on Thursday nights. It's what everybody's talking about. You can hear me, the once in a generation color commentator, the golden announcer, leader of Black Mass Nation on New Japan at New Japan World. Greatest 999 yen you'll ever spend. You get to see all the New Japan action. Pumped about Slammiversary happening. Conan's going to be there in Toronto, July 22nd at the Rebel Entertainment Complex. That's going to be fantastic. The return of Johnny Impact. It's just very exciting. And follow me on Twitter at Cyrus Overhuge. And follow my friend's travel blog, This Trip is the Shizits. And that's at T Shizits, as it sounds. Running down the greatest public restrooms in the world from an international perspective. It's a great travel blog.
That is tremendous.
Did you do one thing, two things for me on our show today when you're recording Killing the Town podcast?
Sure.
Number one, could you ask Paul if he'd be willing to come on this show and publicly apologize to me for making threatening comments towards me?
Sure.
And also, could you please stop having him kiss the ass of Killer Cross on Twitter? That's my protege, and I don't think it comes across as very sincere, so...
I work a lot with Killer Cross, and I mentioned to him, I said, I understand Disco trained you, and he got real angry and said, who told you that? And I said, well, Disco told me that. And he said, don't slander my good name. He said, I met the guy once. So I don't know. I'm not saying it. I'm not going to call him a liar, obviously. So anyway, it's been great, guys, and I look forward to getting my gold jacket or whatever, or gold bong or whatever you get for going in the Keeping the 100 Hall of Fame. And I'll be hanging out, having mimosas with my boy Matt Hardy and Big Ted Irvin, the babyface assassin. It's going to be great. It's going to be great for your Hall of Fame. And I got to get back to trying to save the wrestling world here.
Well, get back to running the Cyrus Foundation, which does a lot of great charitable work for needy kids in Africa and Europe and Asia. And, you know, I want to, you know, tell you, I know that your grandfather's no longer around, but thank him for inventing the bong. And I will see you soon in Toronto. And we will have the results of the fans' answers next week, and hope to have you back to induct you into the Hall of Fame. So once again, man, thanks for being on Keeping It 100, Lord Cyrus. Boom.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
I gotta roll because Lazenby's ready to murder me because he's waiting for me to record.
All right. Thank you, Cyrus.
Thanks, guys. That was fun. Peace.
All right. Bye.
Later.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
We got a new sponsor.
Who is it?
Freedom Grooming.
Yes.
Yes. And basically, Freedom Grooming, they make the Flex Series Electric Shaver, which is uniquely designed to flex and contour to the curve of your head for a smoother, faster, and safer shave without the risk of nicks, cuts, irritations, or ingrowns. And this product is geared to people much like yourself, Conan, the bald community. Get the smoothest shave of your life. Flexible blades contour to the shape of your head for a baby-smooth shave every time. Shave 50% more hair in a single stroke compared to traditional razors. And expect the shave times of 2 to 3 minutes, not 10 to 15. You'll never cut yourself shaving again. The Flex Series Safeguard technology means no nicks, no ingrown hairs, no problems. And the Flex Series waterproof design means you can shave in the shower with or without shaving cream, wet or dry. Since even the sharpest blades dull with use, Freedom created the Close Shave Plan. With the Close Shave Plan, you'll never run out of fresh, sharp blades delivered to your door every 6 weeks with free shipping. All active Close Shave Plan members are upgraded to a lifetime warranty, and it's completely customizable. Adjust, skip, or cancel your plan anytime. It's got 10,000 five-star reviews. So to thank you for being such loyal listeners, we're partnering with Freedom to give you an exclusive 20% off when you go to freedomgrooming.com/Conan. That's freedomgrooming.com/KONAN. So stop deli slicing your scalp with traditional razors. Try Freedom today or get it as a gift with your exclusive 20% off by going to freedomgrooming.com/Conan.
Listen, I lost my hair very unfortunately by my mid-20s, so I've been shaving my head with clippers, blades, everything for a long time, 15 years. I'm 40 now. And I have used Freedom Grooming's shaver, and it really is the best, closest shave. I did it without shaving cream. It only took me a few minutes. I really stand behind this product. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's got like 5 heads on it, so it gives you a really, really close shave. It has an ear and nose trimmer. It also has like a exfoliation brush, and also it's thick, coarse, and curly hair. You can use that too, and okay. Get a good clean shave with Freedom Grooming. Boom.